a flat circle. Everything we've ever done or will do, we're going to do over and over and over again.
Afternoons with Chad Hastings and Kevin Dunn.
Don't make me have to separate you two again. Damn it!
On the Horn, 104.9, AM 1260, and hornfm.com. With the Longhorns Play and Austin Talks Sports.
Afternoon Delight.
How about hour number two on a Thursday? We hope you are having a good day, a good week, and a good life on this October the 17th. Nice and cool outside. I parked a distance away just so I could walk up to the building in nice cool weather. It's in the 60s today. Feels pretty darn good. Sam Pika's producing for us. I'm Chad Hastings. Kevin Dunn alongside, and we're going to get right to it on the Vaquero's Cafe and Cantina Hotline, our weekly conversation with the one and only Dustin McComas. Perfect day to talk to him because we got Longhorn football coming up, but a huge baseball game tonight with the Astros and the Yankees. OrangeBloods.com, of course, and at D. McComas, OB. Dustin, you ready for game four tonight?
I am. This is turning into quite the series. I think it's turned into the series many people expected in terms of a little back and forth and in some of the chess match and all those sorts of things. And then you throw in a postponement in there as well, which kind of gets this pitching staff shuffled and things like that. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
Dustin, have you been like me kind of explaining to people that it's not that huge of a surprise that Strasburg and Scherzer and Corbin and even Sanchez with those bats, Rendon, Soto, yada, yada, yada. The fact that they're in this position, that's a pretty good baseball team, even though they were 19-31.
Yeah, no, it's not that surprising. I you know, remember, this is a franchise that's been a very popular World Series pick for like the last seasons. And you know, I think, you know, people got burned on that so many times that, like, everybody wrote them off when they had that horrible start. And now people kind of want to be surprised they are what they are. It's a really, really good baseball team. And when you commit that much money to those types of starting pitchers and they perform, this is what can happen. This is what can happen when you have a Rendon and a Soto in the lineup. And you got a guy like Howie Kendrick having a career season who's been – really, really good the entire year. It's not like he's suddenly been a David Freeze in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. The guy was an awesome hitter. So, this is a Washington franchise. It's just everybody was kind of like waiting for when it was going to happen. And when it didn't happen for a few years, I think everybody's like, well, I guess it's just not going to happen. No, this is a really, really good roster.
Dustin, Kevin was mentioning this after Washington wins. The numbers speak to a lot of rust if you have a lot of time off. So, in an
1-8 in the last nine.
1-8 the last nine. If you sweep, and then you have to wait around. So, give me a thought from the analytics perspective. It's such an analytical sport right now. Have they figured anything out in terms of extra hard practices or extra couple days throwing for pitchers? Or is there anything that the Nats can do to stay fresh and not develop that rust?
Yeah, it's a good question. I mean, I'm not really sure what you can quite do from a hitting perspective. I think from a pitching perspective, they just got to make sure that they keep those guys in the routine that they're in. And, you know, they're coming off of a different type of series in that you saw so many starting pitchers actually get some work out of the bullpen. But really it just comes down to you got to keep those guys on whatever schedule they're on that's normal and keep things as normal as you can as you head into the World Series. So, yeah, you're kind of, you know, you're a victim of the circumstance. On one hand, you sweep, which you want to do, and on the other hand, you've got to wait and see what happens with that other series. So I'm not quite sure anybody's really figured that out. I saw that stat posted, you know, of those teams that sweep, what their records are as they head into the World Series. But I'm also a big believer in everything starts with whoever you have on the mound in game one and what kind of start they have. That's where your momentum really takes off from.
Yeah,
Dustin, assuming Houston wins tonight and they're up 3-1 in this series, do you have a decision if you're A.J. Hinch and say, you know what, I tell you what, we're going to throw our bullpen game in game five, and if you, the New York Yankees, want to come to Houston where we're unbeatable – and beat Verlander on an extra day's rest, and Cole, go for it? Or is it you go Verlander game five and that's it?
It's a tough question. because I think that we know when you're asking pitchers to kind of pitch out of their ordinary type situation, we have seen that kind of backfire. I mean, just look at the Dodgers. I think that if you feel good about Verlander as a Game 5 guy, I think that you've got to treat this situation as we're going to win the game in front of us. You know, because you just don't know what's going to happen. You know, if you treat it as a bullpen day in New York and, you know, you drop that game, but you're like, okay, well, you know, we got Verlander and Cole waiting back home. Yeah, that's the odds are absolutely in your favor, but you don't know for sure what's going to happen in that situation. So I think that if they feel good about Verlander being ready, he feels good about it in that potential Friday situation, I think that they got to go with him and just try to win the game that's on that day.
Talking with Dustin McComas, orangebloods.com, at DMcComasOB on Twitter if you want to follow along tonight during the game. I'm sure Dustin will have all kinds of comments as he's following along. All right, Dustin, first things first, Astros trying to win the game tonight. You, being a follower and fan of the Boston Red Sox, are definitely on the Astros fan side here. So you want to see a great Zach Greinke tonight. How are you defining that in the first, say, 10, 20 pitches? What do you want to see from Greinke early on tonight to let you know, okay, this postseason version of him is much better?
Yeah, with him, it's command. You want to see a guy that's got feel for all his pitches early on. You know, we know he's not a guy that's going to light up the radar gun, but he is somebody that can still generate some swings and misses. And with him, he's been a guy that just has such fantastic control. So well, we've seen at times in the playoffs where he just doesn't quite have the feel for his stuff and missing spots and making mistake pitches and things like that. That's not Zach Greinke at his best. Zach Greinke at his best is a guy that's got total command of all his stuff. He can change speed, but he can throw any pitch in any count. He's not walking guys, and he's missing bats. You know, that's the Zach Greinke you know. Okay, this guy's at his best. When he's getting uncomfortable swings. He's throwing pitches in any count that he wants to, and the stuff looks good coming out of his hand. So if he comes out the first couple innings and, you know, he's firing strikes with all his stuff and he's mixing speeds and he's got a real feel and tempo for what he's doing, I think that's a very encouraging sign for the Astros, because it looks like Tanaka has turned into one of the greatest pitchers of all time in the postseason. If you look at his numbers, it's like he's the new version of El Duque Hernandez for the Yankees. We know that Greinke is going to have some good stuff in order to give them a chance to win.
Yeah.
Dustin, we're hearing some stories and reporting that this is more than just two badass teams going at it with the whole Correa, maybe the ear, and also Judge rounding the bases with his homer in Houston. These two teams don't like each other, do they?
I don't think they do. And there's also been a report about some shouting matches back and forth between dugouts about some sign stealing going on, which it wouldn't be a pro season in this era if the Astros weren't involved in one of those. these are two franchises that are the best when it comes to a lot of things in baseball. We know that baseball, it goes well beyond just who's on the field. There's so much that goes into it, the front offices and the preparation and pitch dipping and player development and all these sorts of things. These are two franchises that are very proud. They're very good. But, yeah, this does seem to be a bit of an unusual seven-game type series. You know, sometimes you get to the end of a series and you can tell teams kind of don't like each other. It seems that these two teams are looking for reasons to be ticked off at one another. And it's starting to show, and we've only played three games so far.
That's the best way to put it, too, because it's not even like one of these we hate each other forever. They're looking for reasons to get pissed off.
Yeah, and listening, too. Listening for whistling.
Yep.
They're listening for the whistles, apparently, tonight as well.
Not only looking, but listening, Jerry.
That's right. I'm looking and listening.
I'm looking and listening.
And listening. That's right. Talking with Dustin McComas, orangebloods.com. All right, Dustin, it would seem that the Longhorn football team has the perfect opponent coming off of the OU loss, but it's obviously still they got to get things on track. They just didn't look like themselves. I hate to ask the question, do you give them a mulligan, because it's that game. But based on what Tom Herman and this group have done overall, do you give them one and go, all right, it was against OU and it was bad, but I'll give you one, assuming that there's not going to be more of those?
Well, that's the problem is that game kind of creates some doubt as you look at the rest of the schedule, because I know it doesn't get much attention nationally, but the Big 12 is a really good football league this year. And I know it lacks, you know, the elite teams or the potentially elite teams that the Big Ten and the SEC have. But top to bottom, it's a good league. You know, and Kansas is not a good football team, but Kansas isn't the horrible, you know, bottom 10 kind of team and has been in recent seasons. So, you know, that Oklahoma game kind of creates a little bit of doubt as you just look at the rest of the schedule. You know, Texas can't afford those types of performances and then win out against the schedule. There's too many potential landmines when you look at the way Baylor's playing. I know they got some help from the officials. You look at the way Baylor's playing. Texas Tech, I think, is a little better than people think. Iowa State's starting to regain its footing again. We know TCU can play defense. There are some quality teams in this league. So I think that this Kansas game is important for Texas to come out, you know, and just play a complete football game. You know, you don't have to beat Kansas by 50 points, but just look solid all around, because now we have two games back-to-back between West Virginia and Oklahoma where Texas just hasn't quite been in full sync like we saw earlier in the season. You know, the offensive line for two straight games now hasn't been what we saw earlier in the season. Sam Ehlinger for two games now, granted he was good against West Virginia, he hasn't quite been the same guy that he was early in the season. So, you don't want to, you know, you look at that Oklahoma game and I rewatched it and I was like, I'm even more surprised that it was as close as it was, because there really wasn't anything that Texas did extremely well in that game. But they've got to be better. They've got to get back on the right track, because this schedule is not anywhere close to a cakewalk. There are some good teams in this league.
Going back to Houston, did things that my novice football brain was like, oh, how did he combo that? How did he package that? And we know the four-eye technique can be a little shaded inside to stop the inside. But there are some glaring things that have kind of been going on for the last year. I've got all my friends and the people that I really trust. I've been asking them from Scipio to Jeff Howell, and I'm going to go to you. Where's your confidence level in Todd Orlando right now?
Oh, that's a good question. On one hand, I think the defense holding Oklahoma to 10 points in the first half, and you look at where Oklahoma started their drives throughout the game, they were put in a situation to fail. On the other hand, you can go back on tape and you can find things like a linebacker chasing CeeDee Lamb 30 yards down the middle of the field, and he's the only guy around there. You know, we've been seeing that too often throughout the year. And there's just been some consistent things throughout each game. You're just kind of like, that just doesn't look right. You know, it's one thing to get beat on a play. It's another thing when you've got just the wrong personnel and asking those guys to do something that they can't do. You know, there shouldn't be a situation where against Oklahoma, you've got a middle linebacker type of player chasing the best receiver in the Big 12 and one of the best receivers in the country down the field. You know, and then, but on the other hand, there's situations where, you know what, there's a guy making a catch with three guys around him, or a guy making a catch with five guys around him, and they don't tackle the guy. So it's kind of a combination, which how much is that on the defensive coordinator and how much is that on the players and, you know, teaching, tackling, all those things. But I wouldn't fault any Texas fan at all for not having high confidence right now in what the defense is doing and what the defensive coordinator is doing. They need to be better. They're not up to good national standards, and they're certainly not up to – the good Texas standard. So, I thought after they kind of dialed it back pressure-wise, you know, they got burned with that against LSU, which LSU clearly is one of the best teams in the country, one of the best offenses in the country, but they got burned doing that. They kind of dialed it back. I thought they were starting to kind of regain their footing there. They've been creating some turnovers and things like that. But there's still a few things every game where you just scratch your head and just kind of say, why? You know, that shouldn't be happening. You know, you shouldn't get down to the goal line playing man defense and CeeDee Lamb motions for 2 yards and tells his quarterback, hey, I'm in man, and then just run a basic little pick play for an easy touchdown. Like, those sorts of things shouldn't be happening.
Talking with Dustin McComas, orangebloods.com. Dustin, as I mentioned at the beginning, seems like the opponent to get better against. Total defense for Kansas is 104, and rush defense is 122. For everything the Texas defense did or didn't do, it's that offense that's got to lead them. This is Tom Herman's team, and we all know 27 wasn't going to beat OU. What do you expect out of the Texas offense? Do you expect any kind of changes or tweaks? And if they're going to keep running that much 11 personnel,
what do you expect out of Cade Brewer? Like, if they're going to run it, don't you need to use 80 a little more?
Yeah, I think you do. You know, that just can't be a situation where you're just kind of putting a tight end out there to be on the end of the line of scrimmage as a chip guy or a block guy or whatever. You got to kind of involve that guy in the passing game a little bit more. Kansas's defensive line's not terrible. You know, when I was watching that Oklahoma game, I think Oklahoma was down to their second string left tackle and maybe on the right side as well. But Kansas's defensive line was kind of making Jalen Hurts uncomfortable at times, and I think really Texas has got to start there. You know, there's been two straight games now where teams have looked at Texas and said, you know what, we can try to attack these guys in the middle or the right side of that offensive line, whether it's stunts, whether it's blitzes, whether it's just really having a really good guy in the interior, Stills or Gallimore, to create some issues. They've really been testing Texas in that area, and I think Texas has got to adjust, whether that's incorporating more of traditional screens like they did one, I think once against Oklahoma and had some success with it, or whatever it is, they've got to get that side of the offensive line back on track, back to communicating, back to feeling confident in what they're seeing, back to allowing Sam Ehlinger to not be frustrated. I can't recall, you know, a previous game where Sam Ehlinger was just so visibly frustrated by what he was seeing, by what was happening, by the, you know, the hits he was taking. It just, that offense was never, ever in flow against Oklahoma, and that's just been a rare thing to see from Texas from the last season and a half. But I think it really gets back to, they've got to look at that interior of their offensive line and the right side of the offensive line and say, okay, what are we doing now that's different than what we were doing earlier this season? We were having so much success and getting those guys back on track, or coming up with ways to help neutralize pass rushes and things like that from the defense.
Keontae Ingram is a really good talent, and he's only, what, 19 years old? He's a sophomore. Do you think the Texas staff is probably trying to deflect a little bit of the infatuation that Texas fans have with who's on the depth chart, who's the actual starter, and probably trying to massage his ego a little bit as he's getting through his sophomore year? And realistically, he is the second-best running back on the team.
Yeah, I think that, you know, they're trying to keep the confidence high. And I think that he's a guy that you can watch him play, and you can tell when he's playing with confidence, you can tell when he's not playing with confidence. And I think that they know they've got to have that guy, that he's they got to get him into the situation where he contributes like he's capable of contributing, because there's just not many options on the roster right now, and they've got to figure out a way to run the football. So, yeah, I think there's a conscious effort to do what they can, whether it's little things or small things or sending them out to the media or whatever, to try to keep his confidence up, because they know when he's confident, like he was against Oklahoma State, he's such a different player, you know, and when he's not, he's just not as productive. So that, yeah, I think that they're trying to figure out a way to make sure that he's in the right place and he can give them something in the run game because they need it.
Dustin, speaking of confidence, I would assume that Devin Duvernay needs a bunch of it this week. He knows he cost this team in the return game. They had weird plays designed for him on offense that just kind of went lateral and didn't really show him off. How important do you think it is, even against Kansas, to get back to the one thing on offense that I would argue that this team has really done well for sure in 2019, and that's using him in a lot of ways?
Yeah, and he's a guy that I think pressed a little bit. You know, you mentioned the return game and some things like that against Oklahoma. I don't think they can force the issue with him, though. You know, because I think that they've kind of, I don't know if fallen into a trap is the right phrase, but there's been the last couple games you've seen defenses really try to lure Sam Ehlinger into looking at him or to looking certain places on the field and trying to anticipate things and take away things, because Texas has been so good at, okay, we're going to spread you out, we're going to read what you're doing, and we're going to make our read pre-snap, and we're going to go to it. And they were so, so good early this season at often hitting Duvernay in those types of situations. And I think the last couple of games, they've almost been forcing that some. So, you know, maybe trying to get him more involved in the vertical downfield passing game, or maybe trying to scheme some things to where you're freeing some guys down the field, as opposed to, you know, doing a lot of things pre-snap based on the personnel, based on the coverage, and kind of picking those one-on-one type matchups and just attacking those, taking those high percentage type chances. So They need to get him involved, but I think they need to get away from trying to force the issue sometimes on offense and maybe incorporating him in different ways besides, you know, the bubble screen type plays and, you know, going across the middle and making those third down catches. Maybe trying to get him more like we saw early in his career, like the wheel routes down the sideline or getting him up the seam in a vertical way to try to use him in different ways and try to get the defense different looks.
One of my favorite people to talk to in terms of just a balanced, regulated view on things. You're not too high, you're not too low. Help me out with this. Where's the balance between defensively, there's just so many injuries, and also there's some things that schematically they're not doing well?
Yeah, it's a good question because I think we've even seen some games, and even as recently as Oklahoma, where you kind of watch guys, and you pointed this out early in the season with Caden Stearns, even when he was playing. You watch guys sometimes, and you're like, that guy just doesn't look right. You know, and sometimes we don't know how banged up some of these guys are. I think B.J. Foster was an example of that against Oklahoma. He wasn't playing like B.J. Foster. You know, I go back to that trick play against that was like a flea flicker to CeeDee Lamb where Oklahoma went up 17-10. He's the first guy to break down to slow down Lamb. He's the closest to him, and he doesn't even get a hand on him. And there's five defensive backs there. So there's just been a lot of that this season to where, like, some of these guys just don't quite look right. And I don't know if that's a physical thing. I don't know if it's a health thing. I don't know if it's a confidence thing. But on the other hand, too, you look at some of the schematic things, and they just haven't been consistently where they need to be in that area. So, yeah, it is a balance. You know, I think both things definitely factor into that equation, and that you look at this roster right now on defense, and it's missing some key pieces, or maybe even some pieces that are on the roster that are out there playing might not be quite 100%. So it's hard to place all of the fault on scheme and coaching and those sorts of things when you do have those injuries. So I don't know. I keep going back to sometimes, you know, this team is a blitzing team, which I think it wanted to be earlier this season. You know, and that's just kind of who Todd Orlando is, you know. That's who a lot of defensive coordinators are. They want to come after people. They want to throw different things at these quarterbacks and confuse them and create negative plays and turnovers and all those sorts of things. This really hasn't been a very good blitzing team. There's a stark difference between Oklahoma bringing pressure and Texas bringing pressure. When Oklahoma brought pressure, you kind of watch it and it's like, oh, man, you know, quarterback's probably going to take a hit on this play. When Texas brought pressure, besides one time when they had a great blitz call into a screen where they really got in, I think it was Overshown that put a hit on Hurts, they don't really strike fear into the opposition when they blitz. And there's just something off there. You know, maybe it's a schematic type thing to where these guys just aren't in sync in that area. And, you know, that just kind of forces you to be a team that drops a lot of cover, and you just got to kind of depend on, are you calling the right coverage and are your guys in the right position to make a play?
Great point. And even on that boundary blitz where Overshown got to him, they were a split second away from that being the perfect call and throwing it into the blitz and getting a, God knows, 190-yard play.
Yeah,
I mean,
right.
Can you miss tackles outside of the Cotton Bowl?
Yeah, you're absolutely right.
Well, I've been out there. You can.
That is Dustin McComas.
Yeah, you can. Let me tell you about that.
You can. Yeah, that's true. You can. That's Dustin McComas, orangebloods.com. It's Thursday, so it's War Room Night at Orange Bloods. Check that out. They got all kinds of great stuff for you, great content, podcasts out there. Heck, Dustin and Kevin are doing a baseball podcast and again.
Dustin, when's the next one?
Soon. We actually have some off-season things to talk about. Baseball, I think, is going to unveil their indoor facility. I believe that's tentatively scheduled for Saturday. They've got some scrimmages coming up, so we're going to have a lot to talk about soon.
Very cool. Thank you, Dustin. We appreciate the time, man. I know Astros fans are hoping for the same thing you're hoping for tonight, a Yankees loss. Thanks for the time.
Yeah, go Astros, go Red Sox. Do not go Yankees. You can go home.
That is right. Dustin McComas, always great to talk to him. A little Longhorn football, a little baseball as well. Coming up, we will get you the big three. If Sam Darnold says it and the New York media repeats it, you think Bill Belichick probably hears it? We'll get you that story coming up. But right now, let me tell you about Total Men's primary care. They are the doctor's office just for men. I've told you about them for a while now, and they've been helping men around this town and around this area for a long time. Now in New Braunfels, they've got the newest center open right there by the HEB Plus on I-35. Look, if you need your yearly well check, guys, or you think you may have low T, maybe that discussion needs to be had, or you've got history of cancer in the family, we got our man Michigan Dan here to see us today. He's beaten cancer. He is in full remission.
Totally clear.
Totally clear. He's in remission right now.
I gave him a hug earlier. And
he's maintaining.
I'm sick, Dan, so.
Yeah, he's maintaining.
No shower.
He's just maintaining
right
things right now. And there's those of you out there, you might be feeling a little something. If you think something's up, please go get it checked out. There are all kinds of treatable, very treatable forms of cancer, like prostate cancer. 1 in 5 guys, they say, will get prostate cancer during their lives. So definitely check it out. TotalMens.com. Find the location that's right for you. 18 of them on the Total Men's side, and 2 locations of Total Care, primary care, that's now open to serve the whole family. Find the one that's right for you. It's Total Men's Primary Care, the doctor's office, just for men. Also coming up in the Big 3, of course, Astros trying to go up 3-1 on the Yankees.
Ushus.
We're at Randall's 183 and Breaker, and this is The Horn. Yes, indeed. Rolling through a Thursday. Hope you're having a good one. We're at Randall's 183 and Breaker, getting folks registered for Texas tickets. We'll tell you more about that as
it,
we get along. Great folks coming by to say hello. Michigan Dan and Randall coming by, two of our most devoted fans coming by to say hello.
Randall admitted to me, and I've gotten a lot of texts. I've got a bunch of friends who drive trucks. I'm not anti-truck. I'm just saying that there's already a stereotype and a stigma about you, which is why I said about sports cars. Sports cars will do that on the road, but they don't necessarily do it when they're parking. And Randall said, well, I took up 4 spots for you outside of my truck.
Oh, that's
well,
not.
Randall, what's that?
He's not listening to you. He's not listening.
No, he's playing with me.
He's
not.
He's messing with
you.
He's
going, yeah.
You don't need to do it that way.
My friends like to do that.
Don't need to do it that way. All right, let's get you a Big 3, and we'll start with somebody's possible big mouth.
The Big 3.
It is brought to you by Sinus and Snoring Specialist. Get sinus and snoring relief with Dr. Dan Slaughter. 512-601-0303 or sinussnoringent.com. Now, I understand.
That sounds good.
I understand what I'm about to tell you is not someone directly talking to the Patriots. I just wouldn't do it the week I play the Patriots. Sam Darnold, talking to the New York media, tells them, quote, right now, we're just missing Chris. He's talking about Chris Herndon, a tight end that's been injured. Once all the guys are back together.
Miami?
I think, oh, well, yeah, there you go. Once we're all back together, I think we're unstoppable as an offense, or we can be. It's just up to us and how we execute. Oh, Sam. Sammy. They host the Patriots this week. If you didn't realize the schedule, that is the Monday night football game, prime time in New York. I just wouldn't have done it, Darnold. I liked what I saw out of him against the Cowboys. We talked about it, Kevin. A couple of really good decisions with his arm, really good decisions with his feet at times. That dude is good.
He's a good young quarterback.
He's got some real promise.
And there's a promising young team. Don't say that.
Yeah, don't go with unstoppable.
Unstoppable.
I would not use that word. Bill Belichick will use that, even if he won't admit it.
Shut up. I just got over mono.
That's right. Speaking of New York, tonight that's where the action happens with the ALCS Game 4. Greinke and Tanaka. We've talked a lot about that, as you could imagine. And tonight in the NFL, it is Kansas City at Denver, a game that would have sounded a lot more interesting if Denver were better. They're 2-4. Kansas City, though, 4-2. One of those favorites in the AFC. They haven't been playing like that. Is Patrick Mahomes more hurt than they're saying? He's got an ankle injury, and they think it's pretty serious. So they've got to get that figured out tonight. We'll see how much he is able to play. Plus, you got Philly at Dallas and Houston at Indy over the weekend. So there's your Big 3. We were just talking to Dustin McComas about the Longhorns and some of the personnel stuff.
Yep.
Kevin, I rewatched.
Good question about 11 personnel.
Well, you know, and here's why I asked it. Let me tell you why I asked.
That was the best question of the interview.
Because LSU Florida, I rewatched the game. And I know one team that digs 11, and they should dig 11 personnel because they run it incredibly well, and that's LSU.
Yeah.
When they get to go with Edwards-Helaire at the back and Thaddeus Moss at the tight end, the versatility of that setup is impressive to watch.
Yeah.
And
but their 11 really is. I mean, let's get real about it.
Hey.
It's a maybe a little fatter 10 personnel.
Could be, right?
And I've taken the fat 10 personnel home before. I mean, you can have some good times and run some sets with that.
Well, here's what it is. It's not just that. It can go from the 11 to that 10 you're talking about, but on the touchdown that made it 42-28.
You know what I'm saying? When Moss is out there, 11 yeah. personnel, that's a glorified receiver.
Exactly. Flex but guy. Then when you take Edwards-Helaire and you make yep. him a receiver, yep. Yep. then they go fully open and fully empty.
And then they run on you.
And that's how they got the touchdown at 42. Go back and watch it. It is a thing of beauty. Bill Belichick would have thought of a play like this. Brady, the kid that's there that was with the Saints, this is the kind of thing he'd have run with Kamara and Thomas. They put Edwards-Helaire split all the way out right on the right side. And then they set Jamar Chase right next to him. So what happens when a running back goes out that far? A linebacker has to go with him. So the linebacker gets out there, and he's in an area he's not used to being in, and as soon as they snap it, they run a cross route. It freaks him out.
And if you're a man, you're effed.
And then right, and so they're trying to
get a linebacker, hit him in the flats
and
with crossing routes, so the DBs are getting picked.
And then Chase,
right?
Yeah, and it didn't even end up being a true pick. Edwards-Helaire ran it inside. It just confused the two defenders, and Chase is so fast, he got to the edge. He burned that guy before he knew it, and then it was an easy pitch and catch right down the boundary for Joe Burrow. It was a gorgeous football play and made me want to watch them play Bama even more. But though it's that kind of stuff where I'm like, okay, that's an 11 personnel that works in multiple ways. What I don't see with Texas is show me an 11 personnel that does different things.
Yeah, no, you're exactly right. And show me an 11 personnel that actually scares people where you can be versatile with it and you can be varied with it.
Yeah.
And that's what you're talking about
right.
with LSU, where you can say 11 – but if Moss is flexing out, it's really a 10. But then they can kind of mess around with it a little bit. And
yeah,
Texas, because of Cade, and look, I'll be the first to say I'm a big Cade fan. I see a lot of natural talent. It hasn't come to fruition yet. It
yeah.
just hadn't.
And we always talk about this, right? There's stuff that's going on in practice.
And I blame Greg Davis for that.
Yes, of course you do. Yes.
That's the day cool speaking. I'm not going to blame Greg for that.
Is it good, you know, is something going on at practice that maybe it's
Greg,
not
if you're
not
using your blinker, holy hell,
yeah,
am I going to lose it.
But we know what they did with Beck at tight end. They feel like they've lost a lot of that. They've lost the blocking stuff. And then, you know, where does it all fit in? We talked to Jeff Howe yesterday. He's suggesting, what about 20 personnel? If you love two backs,
I thought we were
go two backs and use one of those guys.
And so Jeff and I talked about it a little bit. I thought that you'd maybe see more 21 and 20. And I was talking with Paul before the game, and I was like, hey, you know, why not go with this if you've got three really good backs? But, and he was like, maybe, and we were kind of going back and forth, and he's like, here's what you could do with that. Everything we talked about, and we are not football coaches for a reason, because we're not football coaches, they didn't do. They threw swing passes out of it.
Yeah. It's true. They did. Yeah,
right. I mean, there are some things with those backs that you could be creative
right.
and try and get people in mismatches and try and get a backer on this guy on a wheel route if it is man, or if you read a certain coverage that you know there's going to be something open. I went back and watched it for the third time and deleted it.
All right. It's finally gone.
It's finally gone. I mean, it was NyQuil induced and couple other things that helped out last
night.
I can
understand.
But I watched it, and the third time it was even more shocking how the lack of creativity, and I just kept on waiting for, what are you doing this for?
Yeah, right.
Is that fair?
That's the Rod Babers kept saying that. I've heard so many people breaking it down that way.
Where
you felt like it was being set up to do
where
something.
Where is this going?
Where's that other thing, right? It's like a boxer using body shots. Well, where's the big punch? You've got to be setting up for something. It can't just be that. By the way, before the break, one more quick thing kind of involving LSU here. I looked at pass versus run. They are.
You may not be a prostitute, but you're wearing a prostitute's uniform.
There it is. There it is. They are plus four right now, pass to run, LSU, this year. So four more passes than they have runs. Kevin, something happened in that game. I thought of you when I saw it, and I thought this may have never happened in the history of college football. A Florida linebacker was so worried about a crossing route from LSU that he backed off and Joe Burrow
and
left
beat
it
him
with
on that. And Herbstreit nailed that.
Yeah,
Herbstreit nailed that.
It was
replay.
Great description by Herbstreit. And Burrow just left it with Edwards-Helaire. Maybe it was the Tyron whatever Price kid. And he cuts through because the linebacker wasn't ready to be there. And I thought that's the first time that's ever happened against LSU's offense.
You're exactly right. And that was the accumulation of what LSU's done. And it's so funny too because who would have thought that a linebacker wouldn't have trusted the run, but was expecting a play action crossing route
right
behind him.
He was backing up.
Yeah, he was backing up. But yeah, that is
unbelievable.
That's also why I talk about the old play actions, and this is why you'll see now a guy throw a football out, and the running back's 3 yards to his right, and it's just kind of a hip check, you know? Because it's not about getting Adrian Walker pregnant with Peter Gardere's seed and sitting on it, and Phil Brown's the godfather, and Lynn Amity comes out at midfield during the play. This is all happening during a play.
A deep way to look at
and
it.
And they sit down, and they've got a – what are the kid parties now that they have? Baby showers or whatever.
A gender reveal?
Yeah, well, whatever.
Yeah, right.
I mean, God knows. you don't need all that. You can do this pretty quickly, and it's not about necessarily making it look that authentic. It's about a split-second decision.
Yeah, that's all you need.
A split-second hesitation.
Yeah.
And that's what that was. It was just not on a play action. It was they were so worried about it all week that a simple zone read or zone play busted for a touchdown.
Yeah, turns really complicated really quickly. A lot of good football out
there.
What
would Peter and Adrian's kid look like?
I don't know. That's a good question. It's a good question. All I know
you
is...
You know, that was one of our pranks on ACTV that Bo Kron and I, we had calling cards. We were like the wet bandits. We always wanted to have something.
Uh-huh.
You know?
You went with Gardere and... Oh, no, you were with Adrian Walker.
Number 36, Adrian Walker on the carry.
So I would like prank Alex Jones and get him all flustered and he's screaming. And then we'd finish a Barbie can too. The guy I talked about, Catharsis, the show, he'd come on and say, I'd like to say hello to Zubalu, who's in Dakaberg. It's a different galaxy, and I know he's listening right now, so because it's ACTV in 1989 here in Austin.
Uh-huh.
And then we'd finish off with Wally Pryor.
Number 36, Adrian Walker on the carry.
That's nice. One thing I do know about that kid.
So you go back, check out the Wet Bandits. We were quite the Titans.
Whatever the sport, that kid's going 4-0 against OU. I know that. That's all I know. All right.
Adrian Walker, 1990, had a kickoff to start off the second half against Penn State. Tony Sacca and that whole team.
Tony Sacca.
And that was such an upset.
I remember that game.
That tickled my inside.
I remember that one. Yeah,
and
I do.
Walker took it back to like the 6-yard line, and I've been an Adrian Walker fan since.
That's what started the Shock the Nation year, right?
It did.
That's the feeling. The first feeling of, oh my God.
Brian Jones not staying down on 6th Street till 4 a.m. and eating food he shouldn't and dropping weight probably started it.
That helped. How dare
are
you?
Are we getting to BJ here?
We are. Speaking of Brian Jones, he'll come up at 5:05 from CBS Sports. Up next, we will check the voicemails if they're there, 337-3776. And then Kevin's got one and done for you. If you've been listening to the show up to now, you're going to want to hear this one and done. I promise. We're at Randall's, 183 and Breaker. Come get signed up for those VIP Texas tickets. We also have two other winners that are going to get a pair to the game. So four winners of Texas tickets from today at Randall's. Come see us. It's the Horn. Rolling through a Thursday show. We got Sam Pica back in the studio. Sam, we hope you're having a good day. Hey, who you got musically here?
This is The Meters. Go For Yourself.
Oh, there you go. The Meters. I like that. Sam Pica producing in the studio. Also, thanks to Braden and Christina on this end of it. Our man Braden getting us all set up out here. Joe was going to be out here, but apparently Joe's under the weather. We got Brad Kellner's been sick. Kevin's been sick. So
Derek has strep.
Hope everybody up there. Derek's got strep throat. You're right.
He got that in Dallas.
He got the strep in Dallas. Tried to give it to the rest of us for Texas OU.
Man. I've gotten STDs in Dallas, but never strep.
Man, thank God I stopped French kissing him a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
Jeez, that is lucky. Lucky for me. All right.
That's so cute. You're acting like it's a couple weeks ago.
Well, you know.
We caught you on the parking lot last week, brother.
Timing's timing. Whatever you want to do. All right. We got one voicemail, we're told, 337-3776. Here's that one voicemail, kids.
If I could drive, I would use a blinker. I'm to the point where if I'm riding with somebody and there's a turn being made and I can tell it, I better hear that clicking of the blinker. Although it's harder now with some of these new cars that don't have that sound.
You see what you've created now?
God, I love you.
Now you got Sean the blind guy talking about listening
so,
for blinkers.
I woke up in one of my mini naps, and I was worried about Sean. Because remember I talked about blind spot?
Yeah.
And there's some nut out there, and you got a little boy haircut as Durwood would say.
Like Mark Davis?
Yeah, and she's all about getting rid of blind spot. And it's something angle. Cause,
what?
Well, yeah, no, it's, dude, how dare you? How dare you ever say blind spot?
Oh, jeez.
You're making fun of the blind.
Jeez.
You know there are blind people out there? And I thought about blind Sean. I thought, oh, I know Sean would hate this. I would love to get his opinion on this.
Yeah, that's, ugh, yeah.
So we got to get blind Sean back on to talk about that.
Crazy. All right, let's get you one and done, and then I'll read you two fantastic texts after that have come in from now my new favorite texter. But one and done time. Here we go. It's Kevin Dunn.
My air is short, so I'm going to keep this short. You know, if you're driving around, and obviously I've gotten to the end of my patience on blinkers and just being courteous when you're driving and treating other people like you'd want to be treated, yada, 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 what your parents told you. Just understand, you know, that there are other people around you and that you are living in a society here. And not to get too George Costanza on this, but at some point, karma is going to come bite you in the ass. I know you want to hurry home. I understand traffic blows here. Look, I'm from here. I'm one of the few people, and I say few now because percentage-wise, that's probably true, that remembers when you could just move anywhere here. We would get to the Miller Airport.
Yes.
You know, where the Miller Apartments and Developmental System, whatever the hell it is, and the good Italian place, Locador, whatever, all that, is there, and it's a very good Italian place. I remember when it was – you could get there in 8-9 minutes, and we're talking from Woods of Westlake, all right? I remember that, and it sucks now, but it is what it is, and Austin is still a really good place to live. Just deal with it and try and treat people around you like you would like to be treated. I hate to be a parent, but you guys have come to this point.
Couple of great texts coming in. The first one, same texter. The first one says, that Florida tight end is the best they've had since Aaron Hernandez, just murdering people.
God.
I couldn't help myself. Well done.
They had a couple that year, too. Didn't they have like a Trotwine or
well, remember, there was 31 arrests during his time there.
During
the Urban Meyer
time. I'm saying
time.
They had two tight ends there. It was Hernandez and like a Phil Trotwine.
I can't remember the other guy. Yeah, they had Riley Cooper, but he wouldn't have been a tight end.
Is it Guggenwauser?
Can't remember. Riley Cooper would have been just a straight receiver.
Yeah, no.
He wasn't a tight end, yeah.
You're exactly right. He was a tight end. He just didn't know it yet.
You're kind of right. He's a little bit different. The other great text from the same texter is, of course Greg Davis uses his blinker. He's so predictable. He uses his blinker even when he needs to have evasive maneuvers to avoid a crash. I love this blinker analogy. It really translates to everything.
That was fantastic. No, he's the guy.
Well done.
And here's the other thing, on the opposite side, and I saw this. I've been driving around a lot the last couple of days and driving around with a lack of patience because I'm not feeling great. I've seen people with their blinker on for 2 miles and just sitting there, especially in the left lane. I got my right blinker on.
You
got
to pay attention.
Dude, you got to pay attention.
That can be as dangerous if you're telling someone you're doing something
and
that
I'm
you're not
actually
doing.
And I'm not
going to
say I've been driving for a little while and not realize my blinker's on. But when I do, I also give the same response.
Oh, I feel terrible.
If for whatever reason I've sat at a green light for, I don't know, more than half a second, and someone gives me a courtesy honk, I've given a couple courtesy honks and look in the rearview mirror. Hey, thanks, a-hole. No. You know what we used to do in Austin?
Yeah, you're helping.
You know what I would get from 16 to about 26 every time? I'd give a little, not a big one, nip, nip. Hey, it's been green for 2 seconds.
You get the quick wave.
You moron. A quick wave.
Quick wave.
Hey, thanks for letting me know about that.
My bad. I'm going.
Yeah. I don't want to slow y'all down. Why? because I'm not a bad person.
That's right.
And if you don't use your blinker and you do all this, you're an awful human being. You should move out of Austin. You should call your parents and tell them that they failed.
If you're just tuning in, Kevin working for the Chamber of
Commerce
today.
Do it on Mother's and Mother and Father's Day. I mean, I want you to separate cards telling them how they failed as a parent because you suck as an adult. You're not an adult. You're barely a human being.
We are at Randall's 183 and Breaker. Come get registered for Texas tickets. Two pairs of those will have the VIP experience along with it.
We're already 2 hours in?
We are. Halfway done. Brian Jones.
I'm going to be asleep in 3 hours?
Yeah, pretty much. Brian Jones, he may be asleep now. Brian Jones of CBS Sports will wake up and hopefully talk to us about college football coming up next. You don't want to miss that on the Horn.